Goedemorgen. Ik weet niet hoe jij of hoe u zich voelt, maar ik ben helemaal in lentestemming, omringd door prachtige tulpen en narcissen. Wat is de schepping toch mooi? En ook de uitzendingen van Hour of Power. En het wordt vandaag ook weer een geweldige uitzending. Ik vind het ongelooflijk fijn dat zoveel mensen elke zondagmorgen trouw afstemmen op Hour of Power. En we hopen ook dat deze uitzending weer heel bemoedigend zal zijn. Zeker waar worden met Herman Cain. Iemand die op een ongelooflijk inspirerende manier kan spreken. En het gaat over een belangrijk onderwerp vanuit Bijbels perspectief. Het doel in je leven. En Rosevane Powell schrijft en arrangeert Afro-American Gospels. En daar gaat ze over vertellen. En ook zingen. En bij Hour of Power Nederland hebben we als gast een jongen die helemaal geïnspireerd is en gemotiveerd is om andere kinderen met problemen te helpen. Hij zal je inspireren. En natuurlijk veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. Ik wens iedereen een hele fijne dienst toe.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
Is the day that God has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. be seated. The scripture this morning is read from the New Testament, where Paul repeats his usual opening line. Listen to what Paul wrote. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all people. For the Lord is at your hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will bless your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, to you, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. choir and orchestra from the bottom of our hearts. Well, my guest this morning is a wonderful, beautiful, intelligent lady. Many of you, if you hear our choirs, when you hear them sing, do you ever stop and think about who writes that beautiful music? Who thinks of the words and the music, the melody, the harmonies? Who writes that? Well, today we have one of the most published African-American female choral composer in the world, and her name is Dr. Rosephony Powell. She teaches voice. She's a professor at voice at Auburn University. She's going to be accompanied today by her husband, Dr. William C. Powell. But I am honored that she is my guest today. Rosephony, come join me. Isn't she beautiful? And she has written the song, The Word Was God. And if you haven't heard it, go on YouTube and take a peek at it. It is performed by choirs everywhere. So how did you get into this? Did you write that out when you were a little girl? I want to grow up and be a choral composer.
No, actually, I had never thought about being a composer. Normally, to be a composer, you need to be very good in music theory. Mm-hmm. And I really was not. Huh? But I was blessed in that God called me to do that, and he used my wonderful husband, Dr. William C. Powell, who is a choral conductor. And on a number of occasions, he needed compositions for which we could not afford to pay royalties. So he asked me, would I attempt to write a composition? Mm-hmm. And the first of those was The Word Was God. And so, you know, as many of us find ourselves in our lives, God will call us in the place of need. Mm-hmm. And it's not something we plan to do, it's just something he had planned for us.
Yeah. And what was your inspiration for The Word Was God?
Well, actually, that's one of those songs that I really believe was inspired by God. Mm-hmm. In my time of study and meditation, mm-hmm. I was just saying the word over and over. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as I continued mm-hmm. to meditate upon that, mm-hmm. all of a sudden a melody came. Mm-hmm. And as the melody came, I found myself unable to write fast enough to get mm-hmm. all of the notes and the words down. So I really feel like that was one that God just, as he did with the disciples and Moses who wrote the Word, he just compelled and I just followed his leading. Yeah. And I can normally tell, because when I do the writing, it doesn't sell
it's
very well.
It's more laborious.
So he makes me a success. So, yes.
But so you get most of your inspiration from his word.
Definitely.
You're singing later, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Tell us a bit about that.
Exactly. Most people think of the African-American spiritual in the European context in that it is just something you sing in a church. Mm-hmm. But because it comes from the African context, which is that all of life is spiritual, it is both sociological, meaning used in what we call the secular world, as well as in the church. And so each of these songs had a hidden meaning. They worshiped with them, and then when they were out in the fields working or working in homes, they had a different meaning.
Yeah.
And the one that I'm singing, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, most of us think of God's coming to take me home and I'm ready to
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, the slave also sang that to say Harriet Tubman or some other conductor on the Underground Railroad is coming to set me free, to get me to the North or Canada. So we see we have both of these in play.
Yes, and didn't you tell me downstairs that they sometimes called Harriet Tubman Moses because she was able to, God used her in a mighty way to deliver his people.
For sure. As you talk about how God has different plans for us, I doubt if Harriet Tubman thought that she was going to rise up to be a young African-American woman who set over 600 slaves free, herself having run away to freedom. But that's
wow.
just the way God
yeah.
is. If we'll allow him to take us out of that box,
that's right.
he does much more than we have ever asked or imagined.
That's right. And so you have your project is Motherless Child, your CD, and that's important to you because...
It's important to me because right now the spiritual is surviving in academia and, mm-hmm. and the concert music world.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that that's only a subculture of about 1% of our culture.
Wow.
Well, what I am attempting to do, or at least contribute to, is the revitalization of the spiritual within mainstream America.
Yes.
So I have arranged these spirituals in a way with contemporary harmonies and synthesizers, things of that nature, and will hope that so many listening and here with us worshiping today will come to experience the spiritual in a whole new way.
Yes, I loved your arrangements, and they do have a wonderful contemporary, and I think you are going to broaden the audience and raise up the African-American spirituals to keep them alive. And I just, I'm just so excited about it, Rosephanie, and I'd like to have a prayer for you, if
thank
you,
you
don't mind. Lord Jesus, thank you for gifting this, your daughter, so powerfully, and for opening doors for her to use those gifts for your glory. I pray, O Lord, that you'll protect her, you'll continue to use her, you'll continue to bless all those projects that you put on her heart that she's been obedient to do for you. Bless motherless child. Bless her, these efforts, that people will see that you were there, even there with the slaves. You were there with us when we feel oppressed, whether it be by finances or by relationships, no matter how we feel oppressed today, O Lord, that you are there. And so swing low, sweet chariot, that we will feel your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Sing it for us, will you, Rosephanie?
Yes.
And she will be accompanied by her husband, Dr. William Powell. Dr. Powell.
En wat een prachtig nummer, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. En als je bedenkt dat dat op de Negerplantages is geboren, waar Afrikanen wreed werden misbruikt door de blanke plantagehouders. En als je hoorde wat de inhoud van die tekst is, geweldig. En weet je, ze hadden een droom. Een droom om vrij te worden. Een droom om hun eigen leven te kunnen leiden. En ik vind het altijd fantastisch als mensen dromen hebben die schijnbaar onmogelijk lijken. En zo ervoor gaan dat zo'n droom uitkomt. En een van onze jonge Hour of Power kijkers is Ferdy van den Berg. En Ferdy heeft een droom en had ook eerder een droom. En Ferdy, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Jij hebt gewerkt bij een man waar ik ongelooflijk van onder indruk ben geraakt toen ik hem voor het eerst ontmoette. Bill Wilson in New York, die tienduizenden jonge kinderen opvangt. En via zijn gele zondagsschoolbussen die je over heel New York ziet rijden, opvangt, helpt, verder begeleidt. En jij hebt er ook 8 jaar gewerkt. Voordat ik erover ga praten, gaan we even kijken naar een stukje film over deze heel bijzondere New Yorker.
Niemand durft zijn kinderen zomaar over straat te sturen. En vandaar dat Bill Wilson met zijn team beschikken over het best functionerende vervoerssysteem van New York. Een vloot van 100 oude, afgedankte, krakende schoolbussen. En die vloot zwemt uit om straat voor straat jongeren op te pikken.
Ja, wat een inspirerende man. Ik ontmoette voor het eerst zo'n wilde man met dat lange haar. En dan denk je, wat een gekke vent.
Nou, het is zeker een inspirerend persoon.
Maar je moet ook een beetje gek zijn om dit te doen. Om in die enorme wereldstad die nooit slaapt. Ja. Overigens een van mijn favoriete steden. Ik ben jaloers dat jij er 8 jaar hebt gewoond.
Ja.
Om dat te doen. Wat raakte jou?
Ja, de toewijding. Gewoon één leider die zich helemaal 100% ervoor inzet. En dat in alles laat zien. Zelf al, nu al meer dan 25 jaar eigenlijk in de binnenstad woont. Dus alle vrijwilligers wonen allemaal samen in de binnenstad. Worden dezelfde pistoolschoten, dezelfde sirenes door de stad. En 6 dagen per week was het echt hard bikkelen.
Ja. Wat is jouw mooiste herinnering? Wat is je het meeste bijgebleven? Want als je in die ghettos komt, die zwarte wijken, dan is het bijna erger dan de derde wereld. Dus wat is je bijgebleven?
Het mooiste van Metro was de relaties die je kon bouwen met gewoon individuele kinderen. Kijk, 20.000 kinderen per week. En toch had je 1-op-1 contact met een kind. Nou, voor mij het meeste inspirerende en het meest geraakt heeft was mijn vriendschap met George. Dat was een jongen die was 11 of 12 toen hij voor het eerst bij mij op de bus kwam. Ik kwam net uit een honkbaloefening en ik kom mee naar de zondagschool. Oké, eindelijk mee. Nou, en dat klikte eigenlijk gelijk. Een jongen die zelf geen vader had, was de oudste van 4 kinderen. En door de tijd heen kwamen we echt in gesprek. Merkten we dat gewoon die druk gewoon van het vader moeten zijn op je 12e zo zwaar was voor hem, dat hij daar gewoon soms echt me 's nachts een keer opbelde van, joh, ik ben het nu zo zat. Ik sta op het dak. This is it. Ik kan het niet meer. Ik kan gewoon niet die druk aan. En dat je dan vanuit Nederland, als Nederlander, een indruk mag maken op zo'n jongen. Dat je echt jezelf mag opzetten als een mentor voor zo'n ventje. Ja, dat is fantastisch. En zelfs op vandaag hebben we nog contact met elkaar. Nu is die ergens in de 20.
Ja.
En hij maakt hier ook echt iets van zijn leven.
Ja, mooi is dat. Je hebt een tijdje in New York gewerkt. Ben je naar Oeganda gegaan voor training. Kwam je terug naar Nederland en daar is je iets dramatisch overkomen.
Ja, toen ik terugkwam, toen realiseerde ik dat er iets was met mijn moeder. Mijn moeder leed aan depressiviteit. En dat had ik al eens eerder meegemaakt. En toen was ze daar ook weer van genezen. Maar zodra ik toen zag, toen ik terugkwam uit New York of uit Oeganda, toen wist ik van, hé, er gaat iets niet helemaal goed weer. Op een donderdagavond toen, kregen we een telefoontje dat ik naar huis moest. En dat mijn moeder toen besloten had om uit het leven te stappen. Of om naar de Heer te gaan eigenlijk.
Ja, moeilijk,
en dat was nog steeds.
Ja, ja.
Ja.
Maar hoe verwerk je dat? Want dan, ergens lijkt het zo onfair. Jij doet een heleboel voor God en God neemt het liefste van je af.
Nou, ik heb toen wel die vraag ook gesteld. Van Heer, als dit de prijs is die er betaald moet worden, dat kan bijna niet. Dat is gewoon niet draaglijk. En toen nogal heel snel eigenlijk het besef gehad van ja, maar dit staat helemaal buiten wat de keuzes die jij gemaakt hebt. Ik heb toen wel eigenlijk een jaar een soort van lam gelegen. Gewoon niet wetende, wat moet ik nou? Moet ik nou gelijk weer de zending in? Of moet ik. In Nederland voelde ik ook niet dat ik kon geen kar gaan trekken. Ik ga niet even van hey, we gaan dit werk in Nederland opzetten. Dus ik ben toen eigenlijk heb gekozen om mezelf meer wat op de achtergrond gewoon te laten inspireren. Ik heb toen een mentorschool gedaan bij Jeugd met de Opdracht. Ja. Maar toen toch. Ja, die drive die zat er, om toch iets te gaan doen. En toen ben ik teruggegaan naar New York. Toen heb ik daar 8 jaar mogen werken in de binnenstad. Ja.
Mooi dat je je ontroering durft laten zien. Je vertelde me onlangs over je droom. En toen ik het hoorde, toen dacht ik, hè? Dat lijkt me een onmogelijke droom. En ik vond hem ook een beetje gek. En later dacht ik, nou, wat is je droom?
We zijn bezig met het opzetten van het eerste sociaal winstgevende pretpark in Oeganda.
Ja,
die vraag krijgen we vaak van ja, maar moet water en aidsvoorlichting en al die dingen zijn zo belangrijk. En er zijn heel veel organisaties die zich daarvoor inzetten. Maar het welzijn van het kind, een kind gewoon kind kunnen laten zijn, dat wordt heel vaak overgeslagen. Mijn vrouw zegt het mooi, ze zegt heel veel mensen weten wel hoe ze moeten huilen met kinderen, maar weinig mensen weten hoe je kan lachen met kinderen en hoe je juist door een stukje plezier en een stukje ontspanning aan te gaan bieden, hopen we dat weeshuizen en scholen kinderen kunnen brengen naar een plek waar een kind gewoon lekker kan spelen, waar het geïnspireerd kan worden om er weer tegenaan te kunnen.
Nou, droom je dromen.
Dank u.
Laat je droom werkelijkheid worden. Wat vind je van Our Power?
Ja, het is absoluut een programma waar wij als familie altijd al naar gekeken hebben. Mijn oma is absoluut de grootste fan.
Doe het even de groeten dan.
Ja, nou oma, ik wilde het niet doen, maar u heeft absoluut mijn hart gestolen. Ik ben blij dat u kijkt. Maar dit is echt ook voor mij een eer. Mijn opa was ook zendeling. En dat ik nu in deze bank mag zitten om met u te praten, dat is voor mijn oma, weet ik, dat ze nu met tranen in de ogen zit.
Ja.
Maar zelf, toevallig pas sprak ik iemand bij ons in de gemeente. En vaak, de mensen die te laat zijn bij ons in de gemeente, die kijken nog net even het laatste stukje af van Hour of Power. En onze dienst begint om 10:00. Dus die mensen komen heel snel dan naar de dienst en zijn dan net iets te laat. Maar het is absoluut
het goede doel.
Ja.
Fanny, ik vond het echt leuk dat je vanmorgen onze gast wilde zijn. Je moet Hollands, dan kom je ook te laat in de kerk. Ik geef je graag dit boek mee van John Maxwell. Predikant die we regelmatig in de Hour of Power uitzendingen zien. Fantastisch boek. Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden? 10 vragen die je helpen om je droom te realiseren. Lees het.
Fantastisch.
Op weg naar Oeganda.
John Maxwell is inspirerend. Bill Wilson had ook trouwens
de founder van.
De founder van Metro. Die had ook altijd het gezegde. Iedereen heeft een droom. En sommige mensen worden wakker en gaan er wat mee doen. Dus dat is mijn inspiratie.
We blijven nog in de dromen. Want we gaan nu naar de Crystal Cathedral. En daar wordt dat prachtige lied wat veel ouderen kennen. En wat ongelooflijk mooi is. Over het nieuwe Jeruzalem. Terwijl ik lag te slapen, kreeg ik een schone droom.
Oh, Cathedral Choir for a beautiful piece of music. I'm very excited to introduce this morning a guest pastor, the Reverend Herman Cain. Herman Cain has been one of the greatest success stories in America. He became very successful as he graduated from the finest universities with advanced degrees and became the owner of Godfather's Pizza, which he turned into a very successful personal business enterprise. He has been named by the Wall Street Journal and Business Week as a true leader of unparalleled integrity and lasting influence in the entire business world of the United States of America. Herman Cain, great man, and he loves God and is a beautiful follower of Jesus Christ. And I've asked him, coming out of the business world of America, now recently ordained as a clergyman, to bring us the message this morning. So welcome with me, one of America's greatest, Herman Cain.
Thanks, Bob. I would first like to thank Dr. Robert Shuler for this opportunity. I am both honored and excited to be here. I told Bob that I was so excited that it inspired me to prepare a two-hour message for you this morning. Bob said, that's great, as long as you can do it in 20 minutes. How many of you have asked yourself the proverbial question, why me, Lord? Why me? When something unexpected happens, when something bad happens, and sometimes when something good happens to you, we are all inclined to ask that question, why me, Lord? The short answer is that it is part of your purpose in life. Good or bad, it's part of your purpose. Your purpose in life, my purpose in life, has two dimensions. The first dimension is finding it. The second dimension is living it. Finding your purpose in life is a continuous process that God reveals to each of us when we are ready and when God is ready. Living our purpose in life is a decision. Life can be a challenge. Life can seem impossible. It's never easy when there's so much on the line. But you can make a difference. There's a mission just for you. Just look inside and you will find just what you can do. That's the key. What you can do. Because God does not ask us to do any more than we are capable of doing. Our purpose in life is what we can do, no matter how big or how small, using the talents, the God-given talents, that each of us possesses. Some of us were put on this earth to build a great Crystal Cathedral ministry. Some of us were put on this earth to bring a smile to the face of one lonely child. I'm glad that Jesus stayed on purpose. The disciples were constantly amazed at Jesus and his ability for miracles. They had never seen such things before in their life. But as Jesus went about teaching and preaching and healing throughout the land, and one day he decided that he needed to conduct a little Bible study class with the disciples. And as it is documented in Mark, the 8th chapter, also the 31st through the 33rd verse, Jesus took this Bible study opportunity to inform the disciples that the time will come soon when I must be rejected, I must suffer, I must die an agonizing death. But in 3 days, the good news, I will rise again. The disciples found this troubling. They found this a troubling message from their newfound master. So much so that Peter, who was the chief spokesperson for the disciples, pulled Jesus aside. And as the scripture says, began to rebuke him. Now, my spiritual imagination and my contemporary vernacular suggests to me that Peter said something like this to Jesus. We have a good thing going. Skip the suffering and the dying. And let's just keep on doing what we're doing. But Jesus stayed on purpose. And in this passage, he teaches us that fame and fortune and success in life is not what life is all about. It is what we do with the fame, the fortune, and the success that matters. It is what we do with no fame, no fortune, and no success. And even if you're living paycheck to paycheck, it's what we do with what little we have that matters. There's a familiar hymn that says, only what you do for Christ will last. Everything else is just stuff. And you can't take your stuff with you. Nobody's figured out how to do that yet. That stuff will be here when you and I are long gone. But it's the stuff that can tempt you into thinking that life is just supposed to be a bowl of cherries with no problems and no challenges. The stuff in life can tempt us to lose our soul. And as Jesus challenges us with that question, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? The Apostle Paul, in the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter and the 13th verse, makes it plain in terms of what are those things that be of God. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. You see, if you are on purpose in life, it will be revealed through faith. If you are living your purpose in life, you will have hope in your heart and inspire hope in others. Dr. Cameron Alexander, pastor of Antioch Baptist Church North in Atlanta, says that you find your purpose in life when talent intersects human need. When your talent is used to satisfy or help a human need, you are on your purpose. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Charity is satisfying and meeting the human need. Charity is helping. So whatever you do, if it is helping somebody, you're on purpose. My father walked off of a dirt farm at the age of 18 with just the clothes on his back. He was a man on a mission. He was a man on a mission because he literally walked off of that farm with just the clothes on his back to find a better life for himself and to find a better life for his family. And I can remember growing up in Atlanta, Georgia, that my dad was so determined to achieve his American dream in life, and he was so determined to give my brother and I a little bit better start in life, that at one point he worked three jobs. One to put food on the table, one to put a roof over our head, and that third job to save for his dream. He was a man on a mission. And in addition to wanting to give my brother and I a little bit better start in life, your dad also wanted to buy a home, a whole house for the family. You see, growing up in Atlanta, I remember living in what my brother and I used to call a half a house. It was a six-room house with three rooms on one side and three rooms on the other side, with a wall going down the middle. My brother and I used to say, "Dad, why do we live in a half a house?" Dad said, "It's a duplex." "But Dad, we only live in half of it." Said, "It's a duplex." Because what we didn't know was that Dad was on a mission to fulfill his purpose in life, which was to give us a little bit better start than he had. I'll never forget the day when Dad came home and told my mother, my brother, and I, "Get in the car." So we got in the car. You don't argue with Dad. We got in the car, and Dad drove west of where we were living on a street called Bankhead Highway, and about 20 minutes later, Dad pulled up in front of a little brick house, not attached to any other house. A whole house. Dad announced to my brother, my mother, and I, "This is our new home." We said, "What?" "This is our new home." We were shocked. First of all, Dad was home on a Saturday, taking us for this ride. Man working three jobs doesn't have time to be off on Saturday. My brother and I jumped out of the car. I was in the eighth grade. My brother was about sixth grade. We ran inside. We were just in shock. How did Dad buy this house? My mother was so excited that she was in tears. She didn't know that Dad had saved enough money to buy this house. She didn't know that Dad had gone out and bought the house. Don't try that today, men. Not a good idea. You'll be living in that sucker by yourself. You see, Dad could get away with that because he exceeded even his own expectations in the pursuit of his dreams and the fulfillment of his purpose. Dad found his purpose when he decided to walk off that dirt farm. He lived his purpose using the talents and the only equity that he had to give, which was sweat equity. And in living his purpose in life, Dad experienced the same things that we experience in the pursuit of our purpose. And that is, when you decide to live your purpose, whatever it is, it will be three things. It will be uphill. It will be uncertain. But yet, uplifting. Because when your talent intersects a human need, you are on your purpose that God has in store for you. And it'll be uplifting also because of the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ fulfilled his purpose for us. 4 years ago, I discovered my new purpose in life. I'd had a very successful business career for 35 years and been blessed with a wonderful family, wife of 35 years, two wonderful kids that are now grown and gone. But it was 4 years ago that I discovered my new purpose in life. I was head of the National Restaurant Association at the time, and we were having a board meeting in Hawaii. My wife didn't want to go to the board meeting with that at that particular time because she didn't want to be that far away from our daughter, Melanie, who was having our first grandchild. She wanted to be there for the blessed event. Melanie was living in Atlanta. So I had to go and conduct the board meeting because of my responsibilities. And sure enough, while the board meeting was going on, I received a call from my wife, Gloria, who said, Melanie has gone into labor. And I said, well, you made a wise decision by staying behind, because she wanted to be there when Melanie had our first grandchild. I ended my board meeting, this was on a Wednesday, and headed back to Atlanta. It took me 3 days to get there because of another commitment that I had, not knowing exactly what the timing was going to be. I said, well, aren't you overjoyed? Is everything all right with Melanie and the baby? Yes, everything is fine. I said, well, why the attitude? She said, I've been with this child for 3 days trying to deliver this baby, and you show up, and then the baby is born. She was waiting on granddad. Three days. And I said to my wife, what's wrong with that? She said, nothing. She said, I just know that I've got to hear that story for the rest of my life. I went into that delivery room, said hello to my baby daughter. I said, my baby daughter has a baby daughter. I said, you all right? She said, yeah, I'm fine, Dad. And then she said, would you like to hold your new granddaughter? I said, yes. I took this little 15-minute-old baby in my arms, looked into that little face, and the first thought that went through my mind was not, what do I do to give her a better start in life? The first thought, so help me God, that went through my mind when I looked at that little face was, what do I do to use my talents to make this a better world? God had revealed my next purpose in life at an unexpected moment. Finding your purpose in life begins with faith, hope, and charity. Living your purpose in life will at times be uphill. And as the old gospel song says, climbing up the rough side of the mountain sometimes. And it'll be uncertain, because tomorrow is a mystery. But we have the uplifting news of knowing who holds the key to unlock the mystery of tomorrow, day by day. And living your purpose, living your purpose at the intersection of your talents and human need. And if you're wondering where to begin, as the song says, just look inside and you will find just what you can do. Dr. Benjamin E. Mays, the late president of Morehouse College, used to challenge the young men of Morehouse when he would say, let it be borne in mind that the tragedy of life does not lie in not reaching your goals. The tragedy lies in having no goals to reach for. It's not a calamity to die with dreams or purpose unfulfilled. But it is a calamity to have no dreams and no purpose. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for thy Son, Jesus Christ, and for you allowing him to fulfill his purpose for us. And we pray, O Lord, that you would stir in each of us our purpose, and that we may find it and live it, not for our will, but thy will be done. Amen.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep and preserve your faith. And may the Lord be within you until your last breath and come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset, no dawning, only eternal light and life forevermore. Amen.
En tot zover deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Het is niet erg als je in je leven je doelen niet haalt. Het is pas erg als je in je leven geen doelen hebt. Nou, het was een uitzending over dromen, over doel bereiken. Weet je, ik heb misschien net als jou of als u 1000 dromen per dag. En het zijn allemaal luchtballonnen die ik oplaad en een heleboel verdwijnen in de lucht. Maar een paar blijven er hangen en dat is geweldig als je dromen en je doelen uitkomen. En ga ervoor, woeken met de talenten. We hebben het al eerder gezegd en ik vond het ook heel leuk van Ferdy en wat we hoorden van Dominee Kane. Hour of Power wil mensen bemoedigen. Bemoedigen niet zomaar even van blij blij, maar bemoedigen vanuit het meest gelezen, meest verkochte boek ter wereld. Een boek met eeuwigheidswaarde, de Bijbel. En kijk op www.hourofpower.nl. Daar kun je dagelijks een bemoediging op je computer krijgen of een gebed voor de dag. Ook dat helpt. Wij vinden het fijn dat zoveel mensen ons ook weer terug bemoedigen met uw reacties. Wat Hour of Power voor u en voor jou betekent. Heel hartelijk dank daarvoor. Nou, en ga genieten van deze stralende zondagmorgen. En graag tot volgende week. En hebben we een bijzondere gast. En zeker de ouderen waarderen hem zeer om zijn wekelijkse columns en zijn boeken. Professor Dr. Smalhout.